We're going to be looking today at what the Lord said about children and the kingdom of heaven. Our children are the most precious asset to the church, and they are the most precious things to God. But you know, even though the children are the future of the church and we are guided by God's word to raise them in His will, not everybody does. And so we need to pray together as a church that these children who are present today would be raised in the will of God. Having and raising children fulfills God's instruction that's found in Genesis. And that's where it's written, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Having children blessed by a man of God is a very old tradition. The people would bring their babies to the men of God and ask them to bless them, to lay their hands on them. So this is something that is in not only the church tradition, but it predates the Christian church. It actually goes back into Judaism. So as we do this, we look at this and say we're continuing a long tradition, not necessarily something that's commanded in Scripture. And having them dedicated to God is something that we can do as a church to ask for God to intercede in their lives and to work with them. Almighty God created humanity in His own image. And to all of us, God, we can see, has placed extreme value upon children. All children that are conceived have value to Almighty God. By dedicating our children, we offer them to our Creator to be used by Him to His glory. Now, if you would, I would ask that you would open your Bible to the 10th chapter of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. And we're going to read the first 16 verses in Mark's Gospel. Christ relates the tremendous value of children and also those who are marginalized by the world's standards. And I'm going to show you how they're connected, the little children and those who are marginalized by our world's standards. So if you would, we're going to start out at verse 1 in chapter 10 of Mark and read through the 16th verse. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. And I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word today. Our Lord was teaching about the importance and the significance of marriage when people brought children to him to be blessed. This was a mini marriage seminar, if you will, where Jesus reminded them that the man and woman are bound by the covenant that they made with God. The marriage bed's to be pure and holy. It is exclusively set apart for the two who join themselves together until death. Children are to be conceived and raised within His way of marriage. That's God's rule. Christ made it clear that whoever divorces their spouse and remarries commits adultery. But Paul said if the unbelieving spouse is willing to live with them, they're not to divorce, and those who want to leave, the believers aren't bound. He said you can go. If the unbelieving spouse leaves, they can leave. But if they don't, then you're bound to them. And the reason for remaining with that unbeliever is that the unbeliever is sanctified or purified by the believer. This is all relevant to dedicating our children to Almighty God, because our Creator made marriage the way that He made it for a specific purpose, so that our children could be raised in the way that He wants them to be raised, by one man and one woman. And there's nothing after that. There's no addition that you can put on there. There's no exceptions to that. Proverbs 23:13 tells us not to be afraid to correct our children. Parents who dedicate their child to God are committing themselves to raising the child in the way that God wants them to be raised. And we're to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's written in God's Word. Raising godly children is accomplished by a man and a woman. And they live their lives according to the way of God. That's the way God's Word has it. The man's to leave his father and mother and be joined together with his wife, and together they raise their child, and they can have help but not interference from their parents. I think one of the biggest causes for problems in a marriage is interference from parents. I know in my own life there's been that interference, and it's caused problems. It's not anymore, thank God, but it was. And so as we raise our children, we need to know that the grandparents are not to interfere in the raising of the children. Assist, but not interfere. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, because his disciples rebuked those who brought the children. Maybe the disciples were tired from traveling. I don't know. It's not written there. Maybe they were just kind of ornery at that time. Maybe they wanted to wrap it up. You know, it was the end of the day, maybe. Or maybe they were a product of their society that didn't place a great significance upon children. Much like today. There's a lot of people who just cast babies aside. And in that region, at that time, children weren't always highly valued. Some were cast out to die unless somebody would pick them up and raise them. Some people sold their children into slavery, and some married them off at a young age so they didn't have to take care of them. The children were not generally accepted as having value. Instead, they were viewed as a liability because of needing care. They were esteemed lowly, much like the poor and the homeless, the sick and the disabled, the slaves and the sinners. And this is the picture. See, when Christ is bringing this, he says, let the little children come to me. He's not just referring to the little children. Obviously, he is, because that's the context of the setting. But when you look at the teachings of Christ, you also see that he's not just talking about them. He's talking about all of humanity. Let all of humanity come unto me. And I'll explain that as we go forward. We have to remember that in those times, in that region, being less than able by any means made you one of the least of society. If you were disabled by any means, you were cast aside. And it's still true in much of the world today. We enjoy something that the rest of the world doesn't, in a large way, enjoy. When somebody becomes disabled, we take care of them. We don't cast them aside. Well, some people do. You have to remember that God made man in his own image. And each child, every child that's conceived, has an intrinsic value that's placed upon them by Almighty God. This is not something that we can ascribe. We don't give the value to a child. God gives the value to a child. Christ made this clear by saying, for of such is the kingdom of God. The little children are of God's kingdom. Each child has an intrinsic value. Children are naturally full of innocence before the age of accountability. They have faith in their parents, and as such, they're humble. You look at any one of these babies that are in this congregation right now. Do they or do they not trust their parents to take care of them? Do they or do they not rely upon their parents for everything they need? Are they proud? Are they saying, no, I'm going to do this myself. I'll get my own bottle, Dad. No, they rely upon the parents to supply their needs. You have to remember that they possess built-in enthusiasm and curiosity and love. Did the baby show love to the pastor when the pastor was holding her in his lap? Did she feel any threat? She absolutely trusted. And that's the picture of each and every believer in the eyes of Almighty God. We must trust God explicitly and become as little children in that respect. Their children share love without expecting reward. They don't give their love expecting something back. They give it because it's there, because they have it, they possess it. They're not expecting something in return. And this is how we're to be. They desire to learn and understand. And think about that whenever you look at the Word of God. Do you desire to learn and understand God's Word? Do you really want to know what this says for your life? And the children cherish their parents and they learn from them. Can all of us cherish God and learn from God? Absolutely. These things are characteristics of all who are reborn by the Spirit of Almighty God. His kingdom is comprised of those who are without fault before the throne of God, and that's written in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 5. Christ redeems us from sin and brings us into the kingdom. His kingdom is comprised of the little children. There was another time when Jesus used a child to illustrate the value of childlike innocence. Christ's disciples had been disputing among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He taught them the truth in simple terms. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from the 18th chapter of Matthew. And this is where it's written, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea.'" Do not offend children. That offends God. We must not ever cause children to sin. We must not push them out of the church. We must embrace them in the church. We must be loving to them just as they are loving to us. We must. It's absolute. This is the Word of God. Remember, each of us were once children, and we lived our lives depending upon others for our existence. And someone had to provide for our nourishment. Somebody had to provide for our clothing. Somebody had to provide for our housing. We were completely dependent upon those people. And that's the picture of what God wants for us, all of His believers, to be in His realm. The way He wants us to be is to trust in Him. According to Christ, children give us an example to learn from. And that's one of the greatest things about this teaching of Christ. Becoming as a little child, it gets us to trust our Heavenly Father, to allow Him to embrace us, to allow Him to provide for us, provide everything we need. But that's the essence of faith, trusting God, not ourselves, not our own abilities. And isn't that what children do naturally? Aren't they exhibiting that very faith that God wants from us, for us to trust Him? You know, their humility and their dependence upon their parents is a model for all believers to follow. Think about it, folks. How many of us can remember being a child and being fully dependent upon someone else to meet our needs? That's the picture that Christ has for us in trusting Almighty God. Without the qualities of childlike innocence, Christ says we will not enter the kingdom. To me, that's pretty serious. What does it mean? We need to accept that Christ did, in fact, die on that cross, and that He did, in fact, get buried, and that He was, in fact, raised from the grave, and in fact, He did that and rose from that grave so that we too could have our sins, not just those people there, but for us too. We could have our sins forgiven. We can be raised to new life. We can learn to depend upon our Heavenly Father. Without turning from sin to the righteousness of Christ, we'll die in our sin. And we'll receive the reward of punishment for it. That's just the way it works. That's just natural of God. We go against God and God lets us. But He wants for us to be dependent upon Him. He wants us to trust Him. As we dedicate children to Almighty God, let us be mindful of their trust in us. Let's model that trust by trusting our Heavenly Father. Let us humble ourselves by turning away from pride to God. Let's humble ourselves and seek to please our Father in heaven who wants us to obey Him. Don't dare do anything to cause children to sin. God's word tells us, Christ said, you'll suffer. Instead, as it's written in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Almighty God entrusts these young souls to our care. All of them. And we're in no way to hinder their coming to Christ. No way. Our role as parents is to enable the children to encounter Christ. And our role as a church is the same. We are to enable, we are to encourage, we are to empower these children to come to know Christ. We're held accountable before God if we hinder them in any way. And as we dedicate children to God, we must remember that the little children that Christ referred to, as I said earlier, is not just little children, but also those who are marginalized. The people that society casts aside as worthless or undesirable. He taught that his followers are to interact with the hungry and the thirsty. He taught that his followers are to interact with the sick and imprisoned. He taught that we're to interact with the stranger and those who need clothes. In a very profound way, Christ is telling each of us to identify with those whom we shun as if they are Him. The least of these. And we're to teach our children this also. Even though the whole world teaches them the opposite. Those people were sick. Stay away from them. Think of lepers. I already shunned the lepers. Well, now, what's the new one? What's the new shun these people? You name it. Don't go near them. They're sick. You might get it. And we do need to protect ourselves. There's no doubt about that, folks. But we can't be shunning people, and we can't teach our children to shun them. Instead of only thinking of ourselves, we have to teach our children to feed those who need food and help those who are thirsty. And in this, they will be ministering unto Christ. Instead of clothing only ourselves, we must teach our children to share, even maybe by giving something that's valuable to themselves. This is one of the lessons that we taught our children. Do you like that? Do you think they would like that? Why don't you give it to them? Oh, that sounds like contrary to what anybody should do for their child, because after all, in this country, we heap upon ourselves, and we don't want to let things go. We'd like to stick it in the attic, or put it in the basement, or stuff it in the closet with all the rest of the things that we've collected. But that's not the will of God. Let's share what God has given to us with others, and let's teach our children to do the same. We provide the example, and they can follow it. This will instill in them the joy of giving, just as Christ, who sacrificed his life for us, experiences joy at the coming of each soul to him. This will instill that type of joy. You think about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. How much of a sacrifice are we willing to make? Our salvation doesn't depend on us sacrificing anything. We can get to heaven without sacrificing anything. But the Word does tell us that God loves a sacrifice, but He loves obedience more. The Lord said that instead of operating in fear or pride, we have to teach our children to visit those who are sick or in prison. It's equal to visiting Him. But by shunning them, it's just like shunning Christ Himself. That's what he said. Teach your children and your grandchildren to honor God and to live as he gave us commandment. Teach them to follow Christ as obedient servants and to live their lives dedicated to God. Remember that he's in control and everything is provided by him. And it's so easy to see that. I see it in my life all the time. Those whom we consider the least of these, Christ himself identifies as the most valuable. And that's how I make the connection, because at the time when Christ held that child and said, let the little children come unto me, he was talking to people that thought children had very little value. Just as we might have ideas in our minds of who in this world, in this time, are of less value. As I wrap this up, I will concede that most of us are no longer children. I get that. In years, many of us have lived more days on the earth then we're going to live from now. But the Spirit of God who indwells us can help our tired eyes to see the truth of God's Word. The Spirit of God can open our dull ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church today. Let us always trust our Creator to provide everything that we need like a child trusts their parents. Let us teach our children that. Instead of squirreling away every penny and refusing to live in God's abundance, let's give generously to the furthering of God's kingdom and taking care of the least of these. Let's give something and then give a little more. And I'm not just talking about in the collection plate, folks. We do need to bring money in to pay the bills, that's true. But I'm talking about actually stepping out and doing, as David said, reaching those people who are in the nursing home. I didn't know David was going to be here today. I didn't know he was going to raise that up. God did. Ask God to restore to you the joy of His salvation and uphold you by His generous spirit. Let's recapture that dreaming innocence of childhood. Let's not get so caught up in the news programs that we lose sight that God is still in control. Let's remember with joy the hopes and the dreams that sparked us into believing that anything was possible with God. It's by faith that you're saved, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Remember that. Teach transgressors His ways, and sinners will be converted to Him, the Word tells us. Let the children come to Christ, and let us do everything in our power to share the gospel, the good news of Christ's sacrifice. And do nothing, nothing to stop the Word from going out. Do everything possible to teach others, especially children. Don't hinder them. Because as little children, God wants us all to be. Become as little children. And let the little children come to Christ. Now let's pray. Father God, I do thank You for the children. Lord, we lift them up to You today. All of the souls here today, Lord, those of us who are Your children, perhaps older in years on this planet, help us to remember how it is, Lord, to trust in You. Help us, Lord, to teach others to do the same, most especially those children and grandchildren that are in our care. I thank You, Lord, for helping us in all that You do. Please, Father, restore to us the joy of our salvation. Uphold us by Your generous spirit. Help us to teach transgressors Your ways. Help us to see that sinners will be converted to You. Help us to do everything in our power to share Your good news of Christ's sacrifice. And Lord God, if there be anybody here today who doesn't know You, who's not intimately connected to You, I ask, Lord, that You would touch their heart. Warm their heart, Lord. Help them to come to know You. And if we may be of use here even today, Lord, I ask that You would bring them forward, that we would pray with them, that they could be healed from their sickness and sin. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.